Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And do we have a great guest for you today? John Markoff, author of Machines of Loving Grace, The Quest for Common Ground Between Humans and Robots. What is he really talking about? Are we going to have artificial intelligence where the machines replace humans? Or are we going to have intellectual augmentation, AI versus IA, intellectual augmentation, where the machines augment human capabilities? And he defines this in the history. And by the way, John Markoff is no amateur. He has been the technology and business reporter for the New York Times, located in Silicon Valley, since 1988. He's part of the Times reporters who won the 2013 Pulitzer Prize for explanatory reporting, and he's author of What the Dormouse Said. He lives in San Francisco, but he's really done a superb job talking about, for example, the difference in values between Apple and Google. That is, what are we going to end up with in this battle between artificial intelligence, machines replacing humans, and intellectual augmentation, where machines augment, that is, computers augment the capabilities of humans. And he said the best way to answer the questions about the control in a world full of smart machines is by understanding the values of those who are actually building the systems. It's a remarkable book on the history of Silicon Valley, really, and the robots and machines in it, and the two, if you will, differing points of view that started out really with the difference between two humans, Doug Engelbart and John McCarthy, who developed different views of what the machines should do. And really, they will reflect us as humans. He also gives really great insights into this. So at the bottom of the half hour, we're going to, that is at the bottom of the hour, at the half hour, we're going to, in fact, talk to him and extend and try and get some sense of what's going to happen. Are we going to really, if you will, be in a world where we're controlled by machines and we have to look out for them? Or are we in a world where they will help us to do better at all times? So that's at the bottom of the, and I can't wait to talk to him because he's got probably the best sense. At the same time, you saw an article that appeared on the decline of exponential. That is, we live in an exponential world, a world with exponential change. And so the question is, will we continue that exponential change? And at just, if you will, Moore's Law, which says the doubling of computing power every 1.5 years, I think it is, and will it end? And we're warned by that it will end and that Moore's Law is on its last legs. Well, that's actually BS. It just isn't true. It's bad science. Because the next day, the very next day, IBM announced a breakthrough using carbon nanotubes capable of maintaining the constant improvement in computing power. And of course, we see that in energy with a breakthrough in the way fracking is done and the way energy is recovering. So maybe we're on this birthright or the birthplace at the time when we'll see this decision on will we have intellectual augmentation by computers or will we have artificial intelligence by these computing machines that take us over. But what I wanted to say is the death of exponential isn't over. We're seeing exponential changes in biotechnology. We're seeing exponential changes in the ability to treat diseases. What we haven't seen, and what I'm really going to pose is a question that you all know I like to ask is, when are we going to be able to motivate the vast majority of us to do healthy behaviors so that we can have society, so that we can have enough money left in the federal budget and left in your budget and my budget to be able to not only afford medical care, but able to afford the social programs, the research, the job investments that we need to make society better and to decrease, if you will, the growing rift between rich and poor, to decrease income inequality. We will get that if we can, in fact, harness Moore's Law so that we get a doubling of behaviors that improve or decrease chronic disease soon. The other parts of the, so I'm going to also run through a whole bunch of other stories in this period for the You, the Owner's Manual radio show. We're going to talk about wellness foreplay. And what I mean by that, if you're short on time, is sleep better than exercise? Wellness foreplay really implies, what do you do before you do the things for wellness, before you eat the things? What is good to set you up for wellness? Well, is it sleep better than exercise or not? We'll talk about eating organic, lowering pesticides levels dramatically in children. What do you need to buy organic? Non-celiac gluten sensitivity, is it real? That is, if someone says they're sensitive to wheat or wheat products or all the other things that gluten have gluten in it, and they don't have a positive celiac test, is it real? Can they have bloating? Can they have GI upset without true gluten sensitivity by an allergic test? Well, we'll tell you what the results are of a very interesting test done. Is tea as healthy as coffee? What's the evidence? We know that coffee is really healthy. Is tea that good? We'll come up to it. Thumbs up or down, you can make it great. Packaged food purchases at non-grocery stores are up, but nutritional quality is down. What do we do about that? And then for preventing heart failure, is 30 minutes of exercise enough, or do you need to do much more? And what about, where's the trade-off? As I said, at the bottom of the hour, we'll get to talk to the great, great John Markoff, the author of the book Machines of Loving Grace. He's going to tell us the differences between, or the common ground we're seeking between humans and robots, and whether, again, we're going to ask him, in medicine, are we going to be controlled by artificial intelligence, or will we use intellectual augmentation from the computers to help us control our destiny? It's an incredible book, a really great capsizing. It's called Machines of Loving Grace. In the second hour, now we always have 2 hours. Some stations carry us for both hours, some only one, some only the other. Sometimes you have to leave our listening area. You can always find out by that evening on our website at RadioMD.com, RadioMD.com. Look at the archives for You, the Owner's Manual radio show. You can usually find the full 2 hours of that week by that night. That is, if Engineer Ben and his team are doing the job that they usually do, you'll find that show on that night. But for those of you who want to hear what's going to occur in that second hour before it actually occurs, we're going to talk about new antibiotic-resistant superbugs and what you should do to protect yourself from this emerging threat. Gary Ginsberg is the one who teaches me most, and we have a great... And by the way, I apologize, we don't have our question... we don't have our email system open. And what we want to do is, so we've gotten some questions in advance. One is a question about asthma in Connecticut. It's increased, at least the doctor says. And is that due to a change in the air patterns over Connecticut, over Hartford specifically? We also have another question from a listener. They said, well, you told me Gary Ginsberg bought a new car. What did he buy and why did he buy it? Death in a can of paint stripper. Does Target have the answers to Congress on inaction on chemicals? Why? And how do bacteria protect your liver from toxic chemicals? We'll be right back after this break on You, the Owner's Manual radio show on Radio MD. We hope you're staying well and doing healthy things, like do push-ups during this next 3 minutes of breaks.
Being your best means nothing slows you down. Whether it's a hard day of chores around the house, that weekend marathon, or smashing through a workout, one thing remains the same. Recovery must occur before you can be your best. Michael's Recovery Zyme supports the body's natural inflammatory response, resulting in greater muscle recovery. Recovery Zymes is the missing link you need to be your best. Recovery Zymes' formulation of systemic enzymes and herbs, coupled with an advanced enteric coating, allows Recovery Zymes to work where needed, the muscles and tissues. Our team at Michael's also uses these formulations, so we price our products to be cost-effective because we believe that excellent health should be affordable. Recovery Zymes is the highest potency and most affordable muscle recovery formulation in the market. Elite athletes and weekend warriors all agree. Systemic enzymes are the missing link. Michael's Recovery Zymes provides them so you can move forward and achieve your goals. You provide the passion, we'll provide the support.
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
I'll never get used to these 10-mile runs. They are taking so much time out of my day.
Are you training for a marathon or something?
Diabetes runs in my family, and I heard if you lose lots of weight, you can prevent it. So I started running like crazy, and I cut my calories big time.
Oh, get real. You don't have to knock yourself out to prevent diabetes. My doctor said it's the small lifestyle changes you make that matter because it's easier to stick to them.
Wow, really?
It worked for me. 6 months ago, I started walking a lot and I stopped eating the fried stuff. I've lost 10 pounds. My doctor said I'm doing great.
I'll have to ask my doctor about this. I'd love to get my life back.
Talk to your healthcare provider. Losing a small amount of weight by being active 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and eating healthier can prevent type 2 diabetes. To get your free game plan for preventing type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
Ever notice when you have a baby, everyone seems to give you advice? From your mother-in-law,
don't you know you can't take that baby out in the rain today? And where is her hat?
To your own parents,
you should take the baby outside every day, even in the rain.
To your friends,
you have got to get this diaper cream. It is so much better than the one you've been using.
When it comes to the important stuff, like immunizations and protecting my baby's health, I trust my baby's doctor. She really listens to my questions about shots, she gives me great information, and she works with me to make sure my baby gets protected. And that's something even my mother-in-law can agree with.
Honey, I totally support you getting the baby vaccinated, but really, shouldn't you put the baby's hat back on?
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
More of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And you're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, the passionate show that helps you take control of your genes so you can live at the top of your curve till very near the end. And of course, we're on Radio MD, where the call means to stay well, which is consonant with exactly with you living at the top of your curve. Machines of Loving Grace by John Markoff is the book at the that we'll get to at the bottom of the hour. John Markoff is the New York Times reporter who since 1988, I don't know how young he was when he started, but obviously he's been doing it for 27 years, so maybe he's 50 now. That's 12 and 15, yeah, 27 years covering the tech industry for the New York Times in Silicon Valley. His pictures look much younger, but in any case, he has really great perspective on all the players and the values of the companies and how those values are going to shape whether we go to artificial intelligence or intelligent augmentation, AI or IA. And he talks about the difference between, for instance, Google and Apple, Microsoft, and other companies that are prominent in the industry as well. And we'll see. Facebook, he's the one who knows the values all of these companies espouse and what will happen. And by the way, I'm glad we had the advertisement from Even Hotels, their website, wellwellwell.com. Even Hotels is one of, you know, you, as a person on the radio, I always hope that my sponsors, those who buy sponsorship spots in the breaks, are really good companies and sponsor good things. And Well, Even Hotels does. It's a healthy hotel chain, so please populate them. Go to their website, well, and learn more about them. I'm down here in Atlanta, and in the Atlanta offices of ShareCare, which is a company that hopes to help you get healthy by, in fact, frictionlessly providing on your cell phone. Frictionlessly, what do I mean by that? Without you having to do anything, knowledge about you that motivates you to choose healthier behaviors. We already have that almost in some areas. So with your Apple phone and HealthKit, or even with your Android and their attachments, or if you have a Garmin or Fitbit. By the way, I like Garmin more than Fitbit, I got to tell you that. But also there are a whole bunch of other ones. Microsoft Band just came out with a new band. I don't have one yet to test. And of course the Omron pedometer. But all of these things will record not only your steps. And by the way, I got to tell you, the Garmin is right on with the Omron, which is the gold standard. So it records your steps, and it records your sleep pattern, and a whole bunch of other things for you frictionlessly. We don't even have to know about it. And that comes up with the question, is sleep better than exercise for getting young? And that's one of the stories this week. So there are weight control benefits from both sleep and exercise. If you don't get enough sleep, you tend to be hungry. Your centers in the brain, thirst, hunger, sleep, and sex are all together. So if you're not getting enough of one, you crave one of the other three, or maybe all three of the other three. Well, which is more important if you've only got a limited time? Is it better to sleep if you've got an extra hour and you need that hour of sleep, or is it better to exercise that hour, which helps make you younger? Well, the answer is that it's probably a combination of the two, that exercise benefits per se outweigh the sleep deficits. But remember, all of them come out with extra things. And that was the point of this article from the Food and Nutrition Conference, the FNCI of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, held in Nashville this year. They looked at, is sleep or exercise more important? We can tell you from real age, the data is that per se, that is if you factor out all the side effects of each of those, that exercise gives about a 9.1-year younger benefit to women, 8 years to men. Sleep is only about 2 years. But of course, if you don't get enough sleep, you eat more, and those extra weight pounds have another hazard to you. But the same thing goes with exercise. If you don't exercise, you gain weight. So in fact, what we think of is exercise trumps sleep. It's kind of like, if you will, Popeye with spinach trumps Bugs Bunny. I've told that story many times. It's one of my favorite stories. Why did we even get Bugs Bunny and carrots? It was actually a attempt by the, at that time, War Department in World War II of the United States government to fool the Germans. We had radar and we didn't want them to know it. So we told them and fed for several years before the radar was launched that we were getting, our pilots' eyes were getting sharper. The reason they were able to shoot down more planes was they were eating the carrots and getting more vitamin A, which gave them better viewing, as well as more carotenoids. Those things are true. But in fact, the benefits of spinach, with its lutein and zeaxanthin, as well as its nitrates, which help restock your arteries and give you better blood flow, outweighs the benefits of carrots. So if you've only got, you only have one vegetable, have spinach over carrots, but we all eat a variety and a rainbow of vegetables, and obviously frozen or fresh from the field, better than canned, better than delayed in your supermarket. Let me go with a couple more quick-hitting stories before we get to John Markoff, Machines of Loving Grace, at the bottom of the hour. We'll get his website when he comes on. Wonderful book, incredibly interesting book in the debate between human and robots, The Quest for Common Ground. John Markoff, M-A-R-K-O-F-F. And by the way, Lisa Oz's book came out on the Oz family dinner table and the Oz family recipes. I hope you go to hope you go to Amazon or your favorite bookstore. Maybe it's a local one. Hope that too. And get copies of it. I'm going to be at the Celebrating Sisterhood this next week in Cleveland. And I'm going to have, I hope, some double signed books so that both Mehmet and Lisa have signed these books. And we'll give out a few to lucky question answerers at Celebrating Sisterhood. It's sold out, so I don't want you to go and call the number, and it's already got a waiting list that's longer than my arm's length, but they've got, they sold out 750 seats. Celebrating Sisterhood, Linda Bradley and Margaret McKenzie do a tremendous job for Celebrating Sisterhood. It's at Landerhaven on next Saturday, it's the 17th of October. I better get the dates right. I'm going to be there from 10 to about noon, but from 10 to 11, you're going to get to hear my summary of what's important to you, and we'll talk about non-celiac gluten sensitivity as well as a number of other topics. So the quick hitters right now before we go to the break with John Markoff in Machines of Loving Grace. Well Beyond Wellness. This one, eating organic lowers pesticide levels dramatically in children. What do you need to buy? Yes, it is that the key things, the key happenings on this, if you will, were that they had children eat organic, and about 72% of the urine samples collected daily were contained evidence of pesticides in the kids. But when they ate organically, the most common pesticides declined by 50% within a week, and the herbicides fell by more than 25%. So what do you want to eat? Well, as many fruits and vegetables as you can while the kids are growing up, probably, but it is that Dirty Dozen, and we'll cover that. The Dirty Dozen, maybe they're later today, or with Gary Ginsberg, next week, but we'll get the Dirty Dozen in. Apples, you know the ones. It's lettuce and celery and apples and peaches. Those are the key, if you will, that need to be done. And you should get organic. Key time, obviously, during pregnancy is the most important time to eat organic, and then at other times during the process. We'll be right back with John Markoff, Machines of Loving Grace, The Quest for Common Ground Between Humans and Robots. Will robots replace us? Will AI dominate us? Or will it be intellectual augmentation?
I'm here to tell you that Shelton's chickens and turkeys don't do drugs. Now, what does that mean? They're raised without the use of antibiotics or artificial growth stimulants. They're even allowed to walk around in the open space and sunshine, free to scratch at the ground and peck away at whatever takes their fancy. All of Shelton's natural poultry products are made with the finest natural ingredients available. They use no preservatives, flavor enhancers, modified starches, animal protein, or any artificial ingredients. In fact, their ingredient list reads more like home recipes instead of chemistry textbooks. From premium whole turkeys and chickens to chicken breasts and thighs, ground turkey, uncured chicken franks, canned chicken and chili, turkey burgers and meatballs, and the absolute best turkey jerky and sticks on the planet, Shelton's is your go-to poultry brand. If you want certified organic, you can have that too. Look for the Shelton's brand in your natural markets, or to search for one near you, go to Shelton's.com. Shelton's premium poultry is so good, your family will taste the healthy difference.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Whenever we talk about cancer, we always use the same word, someday. Someday there'll be a cure. Someday we won't lose the people we love. But when is someday? Someday is today. Thanks to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, hundreds of thousands diagnosed with blood cancer are today living a normal life. In the past 12 years, half the cancer therapies approved by the FDA were first approved for blood cancer patients, many with research supported by LLS. We are on the brink of life-changing breakthroughs. You can make these happen sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. Help us make cures happen. Help us reach today sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Royson, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and we have a great guest for you. As I've said, John Markoff has been in Silicon Valley reporting for the New York Times for 27 years. He says his website to read his blog is really www.newyorktimes.com. So you can find it there. He is the reporter who's lived through this. He and I were talking, reminiscing about our common times in San Francisco. He grew up in Palo Alto, so he's lived there most of his life. In the Bay Area anyway, and one of the, I forgot to tell him that I still have my original VisiCalc that I used. I think it was on an Apple IIe, because the he's seen all the development. I've used the technology, but haven't witnessed one of the real points he makes in this book, Machines of Loving Grace, the quest for common ground between humans and robots. And in it, he makes the point that it is the values of the companies that are developing whether we will go through AI, artificial intelligence, where humans will be replaced or maybe controlled by machines, versus IA, intellectual augmentation, where humans will use machines to grab us and help propel us further. So First of all, I've got to ask, John, how did you get, there's so much in this book, but how did you get first interested in this whole field? What grabbed you initially?
I've reported about AI, the AI field, artificial intelligence field, for a long, long time, but I think there were sort of two reasons that sort of converged. One is that in 2004, DARPA started having these events they called Grand Challenges, and the first one was the Autonomous Vehicle Grand Challenge, and I began covering those, and they were a lot more fun than the other thing that I was writing about at that time, which was cybersecurity. And cybersecurity just got worse and worse and worse, and I was writing the same story over and over and over again. And finally, I got to the point where if I wrote one more story about a teenager who was testosterone poisoned with an attitude, I was going to have an aneurysm, and I needed to do something different. And writing about robots was more fun.
Well, it's interesting. My Sebastian Thrun, and I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation.
I think it's Thrun.
Thrun, who developed the first Google car. And I just to tell you a quick story, when my son was an MD PhD student, got his MD PhD, which you get together at Wash U, we were going to give him an automobile as his graduation present. And he said to Dad and Mom, "I don't want one until I can get a car, a Google car." He still doesn't have a Google car, but he still dreams of an autonomous vehicle that he'll get to use. So an autonomous vehicle really makes life much easier for the user, especially if you think about driving around San Francisco or commuting from, for example, Palo Alto to San Francisco and back. When do you think we will actually get real autonomous vehicles, John?
It's a great question. So I've been telling people that if someone can send me an Uber, an autonomous Uber, to my home in San Francisco, and in the year 2025, if it takes me to dinner in Palo Alto, I'm paying for dinner. I think that a pure autonomous vehicle in an unstructured environment, not in a sort of constrained space like a campus or a downtown area, is going to be a really hard problem. There's going to be lots of approximations. I mean, for example, Tesla this year will have self-driving on freeways, and next year GM will have that. So the car will drive itself on a freeway, but you're still going to be responsible. It's not like it could drive without you in the car. So bits and pieces are coming quickly, but the real problem of just sort of calling a car with your cell phone and having it take you to where you want to go anywhere is not going to be solved anytime soon.
Now, you probably have ridden in this Tesla vehicle, I'm guessing. So let me just ask you, what will stop the non-quite autonomous driver, that is the driver of this, from just going off reading, doing computer work, et cetera, working on their smartphone?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how they design it. So right now, for example, Audi has a feature which is called Traffic Jam Assist, which is really a great feature. So the way that works is if you're in stop-and-go traffic on a freeway and your car is in a queue, in a line, following the car in front of it, the car will drive itself, including following the car in front of you, up to the speed of 39 miles an hour. And it'll go back to zero and go up, stop-and-go traffic. That's done. But the trick is you have to keep your hands on the wheel. If you take your hands off the wheel for more than 10 seconds, the car gives you an auditory warning, and it takes itself out of its autonomous mode.
So wow, it's hard to keep your... Can you have long arms, or do you have to have both arms?
I mean, or fake rubber hands? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, but I mean, in other words, one of the real advantages, I mean, as I see it, when I think about this, I say, what's going to happen with real estate prices in the Bay Area? You think if you can go commute an hour without minimizing the cost of that commute, meaning someone else is doing the driving for you, so you'll be able to walk or do anything else you want to do while that drive is going on, you would think it would really change real estate prices.
Yeah, if we could have those machines that you could trust in all conditions, like heavy rain or snow, which they don't work in at the moment, by the way, then that kind of question of, you know, sort of the future of urban planning would be a real one. But it's also, isn't it interesting the way Americans think about transportation? I mean, when we think about solving this problem, we sort of think about flying cars. You know, we want our own personal system. And that sort of ignores the fact that they already have these devices that are pretty near autonomous and could be made autonomous really easily. They're called trains. And they carry a lot of people very efficiently. We don't think about those kinds of solutions as a society, which is interesting to me.
Now, there's a debate, obviously, and you characterize it beautifully in the book. And to me, it's interesting. Is this a real debate? Meaning, is it, do people debate this, or is it just a debate because there are different values in the companies? So is there a debate on whether machines, and I guess Steve Hawken has weighed in on this, whether the computers will become artificial intelligent and really take us over, and in fact will have to fight for jobs, or will they in fact be extensions of us, that is intellectual augmentation? And you talk about the debate between different companies and the values. So maybe weigh in with Google versus Apple to start with.
Well, that's a there's sort of two or three sort of vectors you're describing here. One of them is my dichotomy of AI versus IA, intelligence augmentations versus artificial intelligence, and that's a good sort of Google versus Apple question. And then you also mentioned, though, you know, the Elon Musk, Stephen Hawking, Nick Bostrom et al. Concern that machine intelligence will increase in its capability so quickly that machines will be self-aware and perhaps more intelligent than humans and perhaps not have our best values in mind. Those are two separate questions. And, you know, let me first talk about Google versus Apple. And I think just first we could talk about Google versus Google, because inside Google they're both sort of... questions alive. I mean, if you look at Google search, that's probably the best IA tool ever created for humankind. I mean, we all have the library, the equivalent of the Library of Alexandria at our fingertips, and it clearly is something that extends human intelligence. And then Google is also exploring things like self-driving cars that would, of course, displace perhaps huge numbers of human workers. Taxi cab drivers, bus drivers, et cetera, truck drivers. And so Google's, I wouldn't say it's at war with itself, but it has its own sort of different values internally. On the other hand, Apple seems to be pretty committed. You know, this term is now with this new Sorkin Jobs movie gotten a lot of the phrase, a bicycle for the mind. That's what Steve Jobs defined a computer as. That's sort of the core of Apple's view of the world.
We're talking with John Markoff. We'll come back and talk about health with him. Machines of Love and Grace is the book.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, If you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and the Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, it is. This is so great.
Uh-huh. I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parentsarethekey. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to Machines of Loving Grace author John Markoff, who we're fortunate enough to have to talk with us today. It's really just a fascinating, wonderful book he's written on the history of Silicon Valley and the battle for whether AI or IA, as he puts it, that is artificial intelligence with machines taking over, or intellectual augmentation with us using machines to be able to be more productive wins. The Quest for Common Ground is the subtitle, Between Humans and Robots. John Markoff, M-A-R-K-O-F-F, Machines of Loving Grace. It's a wonderful read, as you would expect from such a experienced writer. Let me go and go to a different area, John, if you will, but something that you probably have more insight into than others. I'm at ShareCare over the weekend. ShareCare is a company that hopes to develop and is developing frictionless smartphone devices, so it measures your stress through voice apps frictionlessly. It does, obviously, it can accumulate with both the Android and the Apple Health apps to look at sleep and look at physical activity patterns, and hopefully we'll have other things such as food portion size and sugar levels and inflammation levels over time. But will those be enough? Will frictionless collection of the data as we're gradually accumulating on our smartphone be enough to motivate us to change behavior? Let me set it up for you and for the listeners that probably know it somewhat. That is, 97% of us enter Medicare with a chronic disease, either unmanaged or untreated totally, and that's what drives that influx of chronic disease, is what drives our healthcare costs, decreases our ability to pay for social programs, new job development, research, even defense. we know how to cure that or how to prevent that. If you get to six normals in the nurses' health studies, either young nurses or old nurses, if you get in there in the Swedish men's study, that is, get normal blood pressure, normal LDL cholesterol, normal waist for height, normal fasting blood sugar, no cotinine or tobacco end products, and manage stress, you have a 83 to 90% chance, depending on the study, of preventing chronic disease over a 18 to 28 year period. So we know how to get there, but we aren't there. Will the change in smartphone and whether you call it IA or AI in the phone be able to motivate us to get healthier?
Boy, well, let's just talk about one of them, because it's really fascinating to me. I think we're kind of in the hand crank era of the kinds of applications you're talking about. I mean, they're there. For example, I tend to follow how much I move in a day with my smartphone, which is a really great thing to have, but it's kind of manual, and it doesn't really speak directly to motivation. I mean, if I'm motivated, it's a great tool to help me see that I'm moving enough, but the tool by itself doesn't motivate me, and I'm not sure, I think that's sort of slightly above my pay grade, solving that motivation question. What makes people sort of commit to those kinds of goals? And just let's look at the one of them, not be sedentary. Maybe a second generation of technology would actually give us a companion who would sort of watch all of these indicators you get from the smartphone and sort of interpret them for us, and that might make it easier to be highly motivated to do the right thing. And I think that's coming over the next half decade. So I can see things moving in the right direction.
What we've done at the Cleveland Clinic, I'm chief wellness officer and chair of the Wellness Institute there, is by having large enough differential in insurance premiums for obtaining or not obtaining the five normals, we're able to motivate, in fact, 95% of people who had five or six normals in 2008 still have it, and 63.8% of those who didn't are now either on the way or have achieved that. So we've used financial incentives with that, as well as changing the environment, having programs, etc. But there still is something missing for obviously we have not got a social strategy, in fact, for the federal government to pay people to stay well the way essentially we do with our own employees and their dependents.
You know, there's a great experiment at Stanford. People love lotteries, and now that we're all instrumented with our smartphones, the folks at Stanford who are concerned about the wellness of the students and the staff have created a system that basically, if you're willing to park a little farther away and walk farther to get to your classroom, which helps with congestion and things like that. That was why they did it. But it turns out that they can automatically enter you in a lottery. And actually, they've got all this kind of social game stuff, but the lottery is the one that's interesting to me. So that every day, the people who park far away are entered into the lottery, and one of them wins a fair amount of, like $50 or something like that, which turns out to be highly motivating. And I think that's a great tool to get people to do simple things like that.
Let me switch gears now and go into elder care and robots. Tell us the latest and what's going to happen. You allude to it in the book. And by the way, if you're interested in learning anything about the development of Silicon Valley and robots and machines, this is a great, not a great book, this is almost a must book, Machines of Loving Grace by John Markoff. But John, now tell me more about the robots and the elder care.
What really surprised me, or that I sort of became more aware of in doing my research, is if you look at the entire advanced world, if you look at Asia, including China, particularly Japan and Korea, Europe, and even the United States, we're aging at a remarkable rate. And there is a case to be made that we actually, we're going to actually need robots to help with elder care. And that robotic technology, it's not quite there. I mean, you can do some things with robots, but to actually do the kinds of physically intensive and dexterous things and delicate things that human caregivers do right now, we don't have the robots to do that. Over the next decade or two, I think that we might move toward them. And, you know, there are fun ways to look at this, like the movie Robot and Frank, which portrayed a person with early stage Alzheimer's who was given a robot to help, a futuristic robot to help them. But I think it's something that we need to discuss. I think you could use it in a, you could use this technology in bad ways that would isolate people, or you could use the technology to help create communities.
And your bet?
And I'm sorry?
Your bet on which
happens first? My bet is that these things are going to, by and large, help us. I think that as you roll this technology out, it will make the quality of life for elders better over there.
We've been talking with John Markoff, the book Machines of Loving Grace. It's a magnificent book, and as you've heard, he has a great depth of knowledge, and it's in the book. Get it? Machines of Loving Grace. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.